This session is about managing panic attacks. A panic attack is that moment when your body and mind convince you that everything is wrong, when in fact, from an objective point of view, it may not be that bad. As the name itself suggests, it is a sudden rush of intense fear or absolute discomfort that comes at you like an unexpected wave during a summer swim in the sea. You probably know what I'm talking about. You feel your heart beating faster, you suddenly sweat, you shiver, and maybe it's all accompanied by shortness of breath or a feeling that your throat is tightening and you can't breathe properly. And on top of all this, your brain adds other fun effects, like feeling unreal, like you're out of reality, or panic fear that you're going to lose control of your body and mind. Some people even feel like they're dying during the attack, which certainly doesn't make the situation any easier. A panic attack usually reaches its peak very quickly, within a few minutes. But while these microseconds of terror may be brief, their intensity can completely exhaust you. Yet this uninvited visit doesn't come just for the fun of saying, I'm going to see Peter or Johanna today. No, it arises as a reaction of your body and mind to stress, tension, or perhaps a long-term psychological burden that you continue to carry unbearably within you. Such an overloaded backpack of emotions that you may not even be aware of at first look. And then all it takes is a small and seemingly insignificant trigger, a situation, a word, a thought, and that's it. The panic attack is on the scene, ready for its big performance. So how is it possible that something as seemingly ordinary as fear or stress can cause such fireworks in your body and mind? The body and the brain are actually quite fragile instruments that, if exposed to excessive stress for too long, start to struggle on their own. Long-term stress drains our internal resources. It's like driving a car for a long time without regular servicing. Well, it's simply not sustainable. Eventually, the body will speak up and ask for a stop. But unfortunately, you pay for it with this unpleasant bonus of a panic attack. But I'm not here to scare you. On the contrary, we'll talk understandingly and with insight about what you can do about it, because panic attacks are certainly not invincible. The key is prevention, stress management, and taking steps to teach your body and mind to respond to stressful situations in a calmer, more relaxed way. That's where a few proven tricks and exercises come in. Trick number one, relaxation and breathing exercises. Did you know that breathing properly is an art? And yet we do it every day. Deep, slow breaths in and out can literally work wonders. When anxious thoughts start to take over, try stopping for a moment, closing your eyes and breathing deeply. Breathe in for 4 periods, hold your breath for 4 periods, and exhale slowly for 6. Simple but effective. Trick number two. Meditation and mindfulness. Yes, I know, mindfulness is almost everywhere now, and it may strike you as an empty buzzword. But trust me, if you learn to really be in the present moment, you'll learn to better manage the stream of anxious thoughts. Meditation doesn't have to mean chanting for an hour. Even a few minutes a day where you sit quietly and focus on your body and breath is enough. Trick number three. Physical activity. Let's be honest, working out can sometimes feel like a burden, but regular workout is one of the most natural ways to reduce stress and improve our mental resilience. Plus, it flushes out endorphins, those magical happiness hormones that help us see the world in a better light. Trick number four, healthy eating and quality sleep. You may have noticed that if you don't get a good night's sleep or have a day full of fast food, your mood isn't at its best. If you want to have mental well-being, you need to invest a little in your body. Give it enough sleep and food that will energize it, not exhaust it. Trick number five, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. If you want the absolute ace among approaches to anxiety and panic, CBT is your friend. The therapist will help you recognize the negative thought patterns that may be pulling you into anxious states and teach you to gradually reshape them. And trick number six, stop caffeine and alcohol. Sure, we get it. My morning coffee and Friday night glass of wine are important to many. But if you're suffering from panic attacks, these things can make you sick. Try limiting them for a while and see what effect it has on you. If your panic attacks are more frequent and you feel you can't deal with it on your own, don't be afraid to call a professional. A psychologist or therapist is there to help you find ways to handle with these difficult times. Life doesn't have to be a never-ending cycle of fear and stress. With the right support, understanding, and a little self-care, you can find a peace of mind that will bring you joy, even in the smallest of moments. But how do I know if I was just having a weak moment or if it was a panic attack? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like we're not ourselves. Maybe we're tired, maybe we're a little overworked, or maybe we're just having a day where everything and everyone seems a little too noisy, fast, intense. But a panic attack, that's a different league. Let me be clear. This is not a normal mood swing, nor is it about your boss pointing a finger at you in a meeting and you freezing up. This is a roller coaster ride of emotions and physical reactions that will convince you that your body and mind are playing by a different set of rules. When the first panic attack hits, you usually have no idea what's going on. And honestly, having a clue might not even help, because this is an experience that grips your stomach, makes your heart beat so fast that you feel like your heart is running a marathon, and adds to the fact that your body is letting you know that something is fundamentally wrong. Fear hits you like a wave, and you feel like you're drowning, only in a sea without water. And what's the worst part? This fear has no clear cause. Suddenly it is there. It just comes over you, as if sneaking up from behind and knocking on your shoulder, only instead of greeting you, it pulls you down into its pincers. You realize you're not in control. Your mind doesn't follow the usual patterns, and your body becomes an accomplice in the sabotage. The feeling of blacking out, the sharp pain in your chest, the shaking, the feeling that you can't breathe. If you recognize this, welcome to the club that no one ever volunteered for. And there's that insistent feeling that this isn't normal stress anymore, that this is something bigger, something beyond your everyday resilience. The first attack is even more confusing. It's probably going through your head, am I having a heart attack? Or am I dying? No. You're not dying, but your body is screaming at you, slow down. This is over the line. I can't do this unless you stop and change something. A panic attack isn't so much about the specific situation, but how your body reacts. It's like a red card during a game. Your body is making it clear that it's not going to go on like this. It's a stop sign, a harsh and uncompromising stop sign that you'll remember maybe forever. The whole drama often lasts only 5, 10, 15 minutes. But believe me, this quarter of an hour goes on forever. It's an infinity so intense that you feel time has frozen. In those minutes, you think you might be the only person in the world who's experiencing something so horrible. And when it's over, the panic attack leaves you with two things: a huge relief that it's finally over, but also a huge exhaustion, both physical and mental. And at the same time, a memory, very clear and unforgettable, that makes you ask, what the hell was that? Why did I feel like that? Will it happen again? Well, now you may be thinking, how do I know if it was just a weak moment or a panic attack? Honestly, a weak moment doesn't hit you with that intensity. A weak moment is more like a gentle push. A panic attack is like a bolt from the blue sky. A weak moment lets you breathe normally. Your body is tired, but you're not paralyzed by fear. While a panic attack will pin you to the spot, make you pause, and urgently remind you that there's probably something you need to change. Its strength lies in its unpredictability, and the fact that it's a transitional experience you'll never forget. Panic attack is a really big topic, and one should realize immediately after the first experience that something needs to be done. Something needs to change, and not tomorrow or later. Now. I have prepared a 4-week plan to help you manage the attack, but please do not take this experience really lightly. and if the attacks become more frequent, make sure to seek professional help. No one in the world deserves to suffer like this. 4-week plan. Here is a more detailed 4-week program with specific tasks and questions that can be easily applied. First week, basics and relaxation. Monday. Task, deep breathing. Set an alarm for 15 minutes to focus on your breathing. Start by focusing on your breathing into your belly. Deep, natural breathing. Once you feel comfortable, start using the structured breathing technique. Breathe slowly, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, and 4 seconds exhale. How do you feel after the exercise? Record your feelings. Tuesday. Keep a journal. This journal should contain everything that can get you into a panic attack and what you should notice and avoid. Record specific situations or thoughts that have triggered anxiety in you. Wednesday. Task. Learn the anchoring technique. The anchoring technique is described step by step in the anchors section. What physical reaction do you feel when you activate the anchor? Thursday. Task. Identify negative thoughts. Write down 3 negative thoughts and come up with a positive alternative to them. Record everything in your journal. Friday. Task. Meditation or mindfulness. Sit for 10 to 15 minutes. Focus on your breath and your thoughts. What feelings came up during the meditation? Were there any disturbing thoughts? Is there anything you need to address? Saturday. Task, a mindful walk in nature. Go outside. Turn off notifications and all alerts. Pay attention to what you see, hear, and feel. How did the walk affect your mood? Sunday. Task, review the week. Write about your achievements. Thank yourself for what you have done this week. Which of your actions brought you the most satisfaction and had the most impact? Second week, cognitive behavioral techniques. Monday. Task, continue the journal. Write down 3 situations that triggered anxiety and a positive thought for them. How is the new thought different from your initial reaction? Tuesday. Task. Identify a situation in which you feel mild anxiety. Plan when and how you will expose yourself to this situation. Make a plan for possible scenarios. What feelings do you anticipate before and after exposure? Wednesday. Task. Practice anchoring. Activate your anchor during various activities. How successfully can you return to positive feelings with the help of your anchor? Thursday. Task. Write down 3 stressful situations and try to turn them into something to look forward to. What new perspectives have you discovered? Friday. Task. Extend the meditation to 20 minutes. Write down your feelings during and after the meditation. What did you learn about yourself? Saturday. Task. Reflection on successes and challenges. What worked? What didn't? Write a list. How can you overcome the obstacles you have experienced? Sunday. Task. Set goals for the next week. Write down 2 to 3 specific goals you want to achieve and how you will achieve them. What small steps can you take to achieve these goals? Third week, deepening techniques. Monday. Task. Choose a situation that presents a moderate challenge you are dealing with. Plan how you will respond if anxiety arises. How did you feel before and after this situation? What were your feelings and what did you need at the time? Tuesday. Task. Imitating. Choose a person who has inspired you. Write down how this person would approach stressful situations. What specific aspects of their behavior would you like to follow? Wednesday. Task. Review of progress in cognitive restructuring. Review the negative thoughts from last week and consider if you can transform them during the week. How much has your understanding of situations changed? Thursday. Task. continuation of anchoring training. Use the anchor in stressful situations and record it. What was the result? Did anchoring work in these situations? Friday. Task: meditation in a different environment. Try meditating in a different place. In what ways did the environment affect your meditation? Saturday. Task: reflection on experienced patterns using transformation. Write a list of situations and their new positive interpretations. How do these new interpretations change your emotions? Sunday. Task: preparation for the last week. Write down successes and challenges from week 3 and what techniques you want to explore further. What is your top priority for improvement in the final week? Fourth week, strengthening and self-reflection. Monday. Task: choose a situation you find difficult and plan when you will deal with it. Write down what happened and how you felt about it. Discuss each feeling with yourself to see if they are real or just a habit. What effect did handling the situation have on your confidence? Tuesday. Task: strengthen the anchorage and try to use it in different situations during the day. How easy or difficult is it to activate the anchor in stressful situations? Wednesday. Task: evaluating your own ideas. Think about what progress you have made in changing your usual ways of thinking. Which situations seem less stressful to you now? Thursday. Task: experience the situation in the skin of a third person. Write down a situation that is stressful for you and try to see it from a viewer's perspective as if you were watching it on TV. How did your emotions change when you looked at the situation from a different perspective? Friday. Task: evaluation of the meditation. Write down how regular meditation has affected your anxiety, mood, and general state of mind. How often did you feel calm or relaxed after meditation? What was the most beneficial for you? Saturday. Task: recap of the full program. Make a list of all the changes that have happened in these 4 weeks and what positive impact they have had on your anxiety management. Which changes do you think are the best and why? Is there anything that is holding you back? Sunday. Task: create a maintenance and follow-up plan. Based on your experience, set specific goals and strategies to keep working on your mental health. What steps will you take to continue to work on managing anxiety? At the end of the 4-week program, you should have a clear picture of the new experiences you have gained, the successes you have celebrated, big or small, and most importantly, the methods you have learned and how you can incorporate them into your daily life. This program has been designed to provide you with a solid foundation for your continued personal development, specifically in the area of managing stress, anxiety, and all those unwanted panic attacks that life sometimes serves us. But once the program is over, what next? Nothing is forever, right? To make sure your progress doesn't get left behind and you don't get set back, I have some useful recommendations for you. Regular reflection, a tool to keep you on track. Can you find at least 10 minutes in your week to self-reflect? Those 10 minutes where you let the world stand still for a moment, pick up a journal, for example, and reflect on what you've accomplished in the last few days, what you're proud of, what's been a problem, and what you could do differently. Reflection will help you clarify where you are and keep track of your progress. And if you're not the writing type, feel free to try it while meditating or taking a walk in nature, whatever works for you and helps you slow down. Support and communication. Things are always better when shared. Never underestimate the power of sharing. As cliche as it sounds, experiences are actually easier to carry when you share them with someone you care about. Talk to friends, family, or even a colleague you trust. If you're tempted, try joining a support group. There's inspiration and release in a shared experience. And who knows, you might find a common perspective with someone that moves you forward. Continuing to learn, it's never too late to discover more. Whether you have explored cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, or other interesting techniques during the program, it's never a bad idea to take it a little further. Books, podcasts, online courses, or even seminars. These days, you have countless options. How about finding an audiobook on a topic you're interested in and listening to it while you clean or on your way to work? How cool is that? Education doesn't have to be boring at all. It can become your everyday partner. Your greatest ally is openness. You may find that something you learned during the program can work great when you combine it with a completely different method. Don't be afraid to try new techniques. You may come across an approach that fits you even better and gives your habits a whole new dimension. Wouldn't it be nice to find that one magic exercise that can solve a bad day? Don't forget, you are on the right track. All of these tips and strategies are here to keep you moving forward in your development. Handling stress and anxiety doesn't mean you'll ever completely remove it from your life. That's not even the goal. The goal is to be able to deal with each situation, have control over how you react, and most importantly, feel like these moments don't throw you off like they once did. Remember that if you ever find yourself in intense and overwhelming panic states, don't be afraid to seek professional help. It's a step to show yourself that you really do care.